Welcome to Present Truth Broadcast with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga, brought to you by Present Truth Ministry, a teaching ministry where believers are trained to be established in the truth of God's Word. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng.
Let's pray. Father, thank you because I'm anointed to teach your word. Thank you because your people are anointed to receive, and together our faith is built up. In the mighty name of Jesus. Okay, so before I progress, I want to answer this question. This was a question someone sent in within the week. Like I said, I encourage you to send in your questions so that we can deal with them. Is it possible for one to operate in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit without being fully rooted in God's word? I mean, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the question is it possible for someone to operate in any of the gifts of the Spirit without really knowing the Word of God or rightly dividing the Word of truth? The answer is yes. Okay? It's a gift that is already given to you. So, whether you really understand the Word of God or not, it can flow in your life. Alright? It's a gift. It really has nothing as much to do with your knowledge of the word. Now, that is why you also find that there can be abuse of the gifts. Someone is very gifted, but, you know, begins to abuse it, you know, use it to his own advantage, mess up with it and the rest. So the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. So having the gift is one thing. Knowing the word of God is another thing, because you know the word of God through what? Through study, through revelation, and all that. So it's very possible for someone to operate the gifts. I read that to you on Sunday. It says, you did miracles in my name, you cast out demons, but I didn't know you. All right. So it's possible for all of that to happen without somebody being rooted in the word. So I think on Sunday I dealt with the purpose of the word of wisdom. I don't know if I did the examples of the word of wisdom. I think I didn't do that. I talked about the purpose of the word of wisdom and why the word of wisdom is important. It helps, it reveals the purpose of God. It reveals the will of God. It reveals the counsel of God. It reveals the plan of God. And it reveals to us how to walk with God. Now, differences between word of knowledge and word of wisdom. So I'm going to see how I can pitch stronger on word of wisdom, word of knowledge tonight. Differences between the word of knowledge and word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a revelation of a fragment of the sovereign mind, will, purpose, plan, and counsel of God concerning the past, present, and future. The word of knowledge is the revelation of a fragment of the natural or spiritual facts in the mind of God concerning things past, present, and future. So the key difference between those two gifts is this is how easy you can get it. The two key difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom is simply this. The word of knowledge has to do with facts, knowledge of facts. Why the word of wisdom has to do with what? Direction and counsel, the application of those facts. Are you following it? So the easiest way to tell it, if a word comes forth, you ask yourself, in this word, what is knowledge? Is it knowledge is a fact. Now, how to put that fact to use, or the application of that knowledge, is what? Is wisdom. So the word of knowledge is generally about facts. Now, I'm going to go through four scriptures, and then I'm going to show you the difference between the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in those scriptures, because most times those two gifts operate the same. They operate almost together. In an instance, you can find the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom in operation. So in Genesis chapter 41, verse 1 to 36, in Genesis 41, verse 1 to 36, you find the story of Joseph interpreting the king's dream. Now, the exact years of plenty and lack, Joseph said, you are going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of lack. Now, that is, listen carefully now, that is a knowledge from God's overall knowledge. So let's say the whole of this platform is all the knowledge God has. That's the whole of this platform, is all the knowledge God has. Now, by divine revelation, God shows you a fragment, just a portion of that whole knowledge. That's why it's called a word of knowledge, right? Now, God knew a lot of things were going to happen, but then he reveals by the dream that for 7 years, there's going to be plenty and there's going to be lack. Now, because that is a factual statement, that is what? A word of knowledge about something to come, the future. So that's a word of knowledge. Now, Joseph now said, if we do this and do this and do this, giving the direction of how to save, how to walk with the grains and everything, we're not going to get hungry even in the year of famine. Now, that is the wisdom that is going to be applied to overcome the year of famine. That is word of wisdom. All right? So in that situation, you find both word of knowledge in operation and what? Word of wisdom. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 to 47, you find the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1 to 47, you find the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, the exact representation of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar is the word of knowledge. Why the wisdom interpretation Daniel gave to it is what? Is the word of wisdom. Okay. Let's now read a New Testament version. Go to Luke 19:29 quickly. Luke chapter 19. Now I'm going to ask you now. I've given you examples, so this is classwork now. So read carefully. Make sure you're reading your Bible. Luke 19:29. If you come to this church, you should carry your Bible. You should do that. Luke 19:29. Are you there? I know you won't get there now. Luke 19. Okay. Look at it. It's on the board. Are you there? Luke chapter 19, verse what? Verse 29. Okay. And it came to pass when he drew near Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sat down with two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here to me. And if anyone asks you, why are you losing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went there and found it just as he said to them. But as they were losing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you losing the colt? And he said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus. Okay. Now, in this passage, Jesus operated the two gifts. Which of them is the word of knowledge? Which of them is the word of knowledge? Which statement did Jesus say here that looks like a word of knowledge? Sorry? Huh? Going to the village. Ah! Sorry? No, word of knowledge. Which of them? Verse what? Verse 30. Okay, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you find a cord tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it. Yeah, exactly. You guys are brilliant. That's a word of knowledge. Exact information, exact fact of where they are going to find the cord. Okay, so where is the word of wisdom? 31. And if anyone asks you, why are you losing it? Thus you shall say to him, what? Because the Lord has need of it. That's the word of wisdom. Because if you don't answer that question properly, you might be caught as a thief. Even though the word of knowledge is accurate, the word of wisdom is how you'll be able to successfully bring that cult out. So you see where sometimes, in quote, prophets can destroy homes and destroy businesses, because then they release an exact word of knowledge, but then they miss the word of wisdom. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you miss the word of wisdom, it might look like the... Now, sometimes we are carried away by the exactness of the word of knowledge. But you see, there must always be a follow-up of the word of wisdom, because it's the word of wisdom that helps you to apply the word of knowledge. So let me say, for instance, I come today and I say, you know, your boss in the office is very wicked and he's trying to sack you for no just cause. Right? That's an exact word of knowledge. Maybe somebody told Joseph that way, right? Told Joseph that, like, this is going to happen to you. Now, the next question is, how do I behave? Now, what is our typical African Nigerian response? We take the man's picture, we start trying to kill the man. All right? We start praying against the man. Now, what do we do? Even though we have an exact word of knowledge, we do contrary to what scripture tells us to do to solve that problem. Are you seeing where the problem is? So the fact that something is correct does not mean it is complete. Okay, now, another example. Acts chapter 9. So read carefully because you still will give me the answer here. If you just understand this, you can't miss it any longer. So when somebody gives a prophecy, you'll be able to know, oh, this is word of knowledge. Oh, there's no word of wisdom there. It's very clear. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 to 16. Let's read quickly. Acts 9:10-16. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Disciple, not a prophet, not a pastor, not a general overseer, not a bishop, was a disciple named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here am I, my Lord. So he said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so he might receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Question, where is the word of knowledge here? Verse 11 and 12. Arise, go to the street called Straight and inquire the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. Where's the word of wisdom? Verse what? Some of you are not saying it yet. You are just hooked. See, there's no word here. Okay, it's very simple. The word of knowledge is verse 11. Exact. See, always look for that exact fact. Fact. Look for that exact fact. Precise knowledge. No guesswork. There's a man in this house. He's there. That's the word of knowledge. Now, the problem is the man says, I'm not going to go because that guy is a murderer. Now, he gives him the word of wisdom. What's the word of wisdom? How the plan of God for him. How he's going to work out that vision. Right. So that's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. This one is a long reading. We don't have time. I would have given you. But if you read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12 to 23, God gives them the location of the enemy and then the instruction concerning victory. If you read that, he gives them 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You remember now, you know 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe the Lord, you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall do what? You shall prosper. Now, you remember, he's told them that those who sing praises should go first. Now, he tells them about the enemy and gives them the word of wisdom concerning how to do what? How to obtain victory. As a child of God, even though you know what the problem is, you need the word of wisdom on how to obtain victory. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, it's not just about knowing the problem. It's about the word of wisdom to do what? To know how to. So you see that these gifts of the Spirit I'm teaching you now are not just for church. They are for your life, your regular life, your daily life. You stay in a compound that is very, all hell breaks loose daily. You don't even need word of knowledge to know that there's trouble in this compound. You understand that? But then you're going to require the word of wisdom on how to do what? To obtain the victory and to live. Praise the Lord. You know, our default position is to move. But you know, one thing I realize is that there's problem everywhere. It's just different faces. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? Wherever you move to, you just realize that it has its own unique set of problem. So don't always be that one who runs away from situation. Whatever problems you conquer, you have taken dominion over that territory. So you stay and keep expanding your influence. Praise God. So I think on Sunday I mentioned how the word of wisdom comes, right? Inner impression, inner witness of the Holy Spirit, inner pictures, scriptural revelation, dreams, angelic visitation, and prophecy. Prophecy is almost the last one, but that's like what we have put first. The way the word of wisdom actually comes is actually through inner impression. You just feel something in your spirit. The Holy Spirit impresses certain things to you about it. Now, sometimes if you are married to a very, well, I don't use the word spiritual, but if both of you are active believers, it's always good to look each, if both of you are active believers, it's always good to listen to one another. Most times, these gifts flow from your spouse to you. You understand? They might just say something, but if you pay attention and you look on the long run, just cover, oh, that was a word of knowledge. Oh, that was a word of wisdom in manifestation. Praise God. Now, you must understand that these are not gifts that just, you know, every time they want to happen, you have to close your eyes. Oh, God wants to say something. Oh, Jesus. Oh, toss here the Lord. I don't even like, maybe I will spend time to teach on prophecy and how to prophesy. Most times, it's not even too proper to say, thus saith the Lord. You know, you can just meet people. This impression I have in my spirit, I sense this in my spirit. You know, I'm having this impression. What do you think? I sense this is what the Lord is saying to me. You must not be very emphatic when giving the gifts, when releasing the manifestation of the Spirit or the gift of the Spirit. Three things you must also be very careful about if you're sensing the direction this way is, number one, be very careful about the word of knowledge regarding birth, regarding death, and regarding marriage. You know, most times it's good to just put it out there without saying emphatically, this is what the Lord, you know, is saying. When it regards birth, when it regards death, and when it regards marriage. Now, let's quickly see about the gift of the word of knowledge. The gift of a word of knowledge. The gift of a word of knowledge is an instantaneous and divine revelation of facts, past, present, or future in the mind of God concerning either heavenly or earthly matters. The gift of a word of knowledge is an instantaneous or divine revelation of facts. The key here is that it's an instantaneous revelation of facts concerning things past, present, or future in the mind of God concerning either heavenly or earthly matters. So these facts is already in the mind of God. He gives you a portion of it. He just shows you a bit of it. All right. Now, a word of knowledge is a fragment of the total arena of God's knowledge. Why? Because a word is a fragment of a sentence. So it's like you don't have the whole sentence. God just gives you a word. Now, what are some of the functions? Number one, a word of knowledge comes to minister to the need. It is as much as like when a lawyer, when you have a case, you know, when you have a case and a lawyer has the knowledge of the Constitution, right? Are we here? Okay. A lawyer has a knowledge of the Constitution, what the Nigerian Constitution says. Now, but you have a need. Let's say, for instance, you stole or they stole from you. You know, the things about lawyers, I was watching a movie with my wife and we were just talking about it. You know, the things about lawyers is that even if, for instance, you stole and they know you stole, they just say, just tell me the truth. Did you steal? I say, yes. Now, what will the lawyers do? The lawyer know that you stole, right? But he will still look for something within the law to set you free. That's the problem sometimes people say they have with lawyers. Now, the lawyer knows the law, the Constitution, but you don't need the whole Constitution, right? What you need for your freedom is just a minute part of the Constitution that solves your problem. I don't know if you understand are you following my illustration? That's what a word of knowledge is. A word of knowledge is that fragment of knowledge you need for your issue is released by God. God has all knowledge. Well, you don't need all knowledge. Right? What you just need is the knowledge concerning you. So, a word of knowledge comes to minister to a specific need. So, For example, when the Lord needed the call to ride to Jerusalem, he didn't need everything. He just needed that one call to ride. And what happened? He gave them an exact location of that. Of course, God knows where all the animals in Israel are. He didn't give them all the addresses. He just gave them the address of what? Of one. Okay. Now, what's the purpose of the word of knowledge? Number one, it gives the fact necessary to minister effectively to a need. So it gives the fact necessary to minister effectively to a need. Number two, it reveals the hidden things. So it reveals things that are hidden. It reveals things that are hidden. Now, I must let you know very clearly, the Holy Spirit does not reveal things to shame people. That's very important, because I see that a lot now. The Holy Spirit does not reveal things to shame people. If you see how Jesus ministered to the woman at the well, it's a classic example of how to function in the gifts of the Spirit and still keep the dignity of people intact. Are you following what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit is not, even if someone, for instance, is a commercial sex worker or something, the Holy Spirit is not going to make you call that person out on a Sunday morning publicly, you know, and do all of that. And sometimes you see all this manifestation, and then they've got a mic on your mouth, and they say, what the man of God said, is it true? Say it's true. Repeat it. Yeah, you don't need all that. You don't need all that. You see, we must be careful in our administration of the gift that the glory is not to us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know, the way we can make sure that the glory is not to us is to constantly teach you that you can walk in those gifts. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, let's look at the two approaches. If at the end of this series you live here, what's going to be topmost in your mind? How can this gift function in my life? Am I right? You guys here are cold. Have they owed you salaries? Am I right? Do you understand that? Now, as opposed to, I'm going to church on Sunday so pastor can see my case. You understand the different approach. You're not going to come here. Rather, you're coming here with that excitement that I want to learn how this gift can function so I can use it. Now, that's exactly my role in your life. My role is not to call out your case file. My role is to teach you to sort it out with God. Now, sometimes the Lord can use me to help you, but that's not the uttermost. That's not the ultimate. That's not God's perfect plan. God's perfect plan is for every one of us to walk in the gifts. Are you following what I'm saying? God's perfect plan is that you are so walking in that gift that even times when I'm discouraged and I'm coming to church, I'm the one that's going to preach to you, you can just walk up to me in the office and say, you know what, pastor, this is what God just said to me, just to strengthen your heart. That's the way. God also wants you to use that gift to minister to me. Are you following what I'm saying? God also wants you to know when I don't have money in my account that you need to give me money. Right? That the knowledge is pastor doesn't have money. The word of wisdom is ask for his account number. Accurate. Do you understand that? Now, how would you imagine a church where all of us are big on the gifts of the Spirit? Are you following what I'm saying? A brother doesn't show up in church, you know exactly what is making him discouraged. When you go and visit him, you just go straight to the point. I sense this is discouraging you, but I sense this is what God is going to do to give you the victory. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how God wants us to walk. He wants every one of us to be so full of the gifts that we use it to become of a blessing to each other. Praise the name of the Lord. So he doesn't want you to come in and, you know, you are shaking. Oh, daddy, oh, papa, oh, go deep, papa, oh, no. I don't even want to be that. Praise God. God wants every one of us to walk in the fullness of those gifts. Say in the name of Jesus, the gifts of the Holy Ghost are manifested in my life. In the name of Jesus. Declare it daily. Praise God. You discover that in the office, certain things are going wrong. The gifts will come up. Praise God. Everybody in the office, you know how all those times there are issues in the office. Everybody's confused. Your manager is confused. The company is confused. People who founded the company are confused. Even the guys who founded the company that are dead are confused in the grave. Everybody, all this kind of tough problem. And then the Holy Ghost just puts a word of wisdom in your heart and say, why don't you do it this way? Bam, the solution comes. And they say, how did you know it? Don't go and ask things. You know, I read a lot. I study. I don't sleep on time. No. That's when to give all the glory to God. Amen. That's when to know that it's the grace. Even you are shocked at the solution. So when they now ask you, how do we do this again? You say, no, just the way I told you, just do it. Like, because you don't know where it started from or where it's going to end. But God wants those gifts to be manifested in our lives. And they will be manifested in our lives in all fullness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is the word of knowledge important? Number one, it reveals how to pray for specific situations. So you are not just, you know how, when I think of this, it comes in my mind about when you watch war films. It's been a long time I watch war films, right? But when you watch war films and you see like the actor just takes the gun and is just shooting from left to right, anything, just killing everybody and everything, right? And then you have like a sniper who just knows that, okay, in the midst of everybody, I just want to take out the lady with the red shirt. Now, that's what word of knowledge helps you to do. You don't pray like that actor. You don't just pray a fire prayer. You know, that's how some of you say you are firing prayer. Kill everybody. I don't care. Anybody who is concerned, anybody in the way of this prayer. No. You're specific. You know exactly what to pray. So the word of knowledge helps you to pray what? Exactly. It shows you exactly what the issue is, and then you pray about it. It reveals disease, situation, or person that God is presently ministering to. So sometimes you can just pick up this issue, you know, this specific case, and you pray for them. So it reveals specific things. It's very specific. Sometimes it reveals the work of sin, darkness, and hypocrisy. Reveals the work of sin, darkness, and hypocrisy. Acts chapter 5. When you go to Acts chapter 5, you see that through the word of knowledge, Peter was able to pick up, you know, that the guys, Ananias and Sapphira, you remember? True word of knowledge, Peter said, when you gave the money, it still was yours. You would have not, there was no need to lie. So just reveal that hypocrisy right there. Sometimes it gives confirmation. You're in a meeting and through the word of knowledge, God just speaks something to your heart. It confirms the things in your heart. Then it also gives preparation for ministry. Acts chapter 9 verse 16. It gives preparation for ministry. Acts chapter 9 and verse 16. The word of knowledge gives preparation for ministry. Acts 9:16 says, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So God was to reveal to Paul. Remember, you know, sometimes when we talk about God calls us to ministry, it's very glorious, right? God called us, this is what we're going to do. This, but in this case, God said, I'm going to show you the things you're going to suffer for my name's sake. And because God has showed him the things he was going to suffer for his name's sake, that's when Agabus came and said, the man who has this belt is going to be tied in Jerusalem. What did Paul say? Paul said, I'm not only ready to be tied, but I'm ready to do what? To die. You know, so sometimes when you have that gift at work in your life, even when prophets come and prophesy certain things to your heart, you're not moved. If it were some people to say, ah, prophet, thank you. Oh, thank you. You have saved me from death. God will bless you. No. The man said, listen, I'm ready not just only to be tied, but to die. And it defied that prophetic word. Praise God. See, sometimes you must be sure of what God has spoken to you. I remember in my life, coming up into ministry, maybe I was serving, you know, I still serve with that, but those early days when I started, maybe like after 5 years of serving that, I was in a meeting and then a man came and was prophesying, it's time to leave your father, just as Samuel. He just gave all those wonderful prophetic words and everything, you know. I just stood there listening to him. But I already knew what the Lord has so told me about serving my dad and working with my dad. And, you know, by the time we finished the meeting, we're going back. My friend said, ah, oh, that word that the guy said, what do you think about it? I said, think. He said, yes, you know, about you leaving your dad and all that. I was like, no, I'm not even thinking about it. He said, why? I said, he's not correct. He said, why? I said, no, that's not what God has told me. I know what God had already told me. Praise God. Because sometimes also when we get to prophecy, we'll speak there. Sometimes if you are not careful, the prevailing circumstance can induce you to prophesy. So let me say, for example, if you don't walk by the Spirit and I come into this place right now, sometimes by the way people are dressed, you will just begin to pick up signals and say, the Lord is going to prosper you. The Lord is going to, you know something. If you speak to people, you will understand. For instance, well, when I get to prophecy, but let me say, you know, Now, some of you, as I'm looking at you, I can see you're tired. Your body posture is already telling me. Some of you that have problems, I already know you have problems. It's not the Spirit revealing to me. Some of you are just looking at me. I know you are not hearing me. There is issue on your mind. I know. Do you understand? You know, you are just looking. I can tell from where I am. You know, and if I walk to you now and say, I just sense that there are many issues in your, you will just break down. Oh, yes, it's true. It's true. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, sometimes prophecy can come by the way we perceive people. And if you see a man that is dressed, you know, you can go to him and say, God wants to increase you. God wants to make you a millionaire. And you might just see somebody who is just casual. You know, so if you're not careful, your prophecy can come from your senses. Are you following what I'm saying? Or you can prophesy what is very popular. Everything that everybody sees now is somebody is after you. So you discover that 90% of prophetic words are coming that way. Somebody is after you. It's just a prevailing, controlling, familiar spirit. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what the word of knowledge does is that when the Lord has given you specific facts about your life, and you even go to meetings where contrary words are spoken, you are not moved. Praise God. You know, I've gone to meetings sometimes and people look at me and they say, oh, wait, the way the Lord is using you, he's also going to give you an anointing for business. And I laugh like, no way. Why? That's not my thought. It's not a prayer point. And then someone say, hey, but the Lord can use them to speak to you and later the Lord can change you. You see, God will never do externally for you what he has not started giving you internal impressions about. He will be giving you the impression. It is to come as confirmation, not direction. Prophecy in the New Testament is never for direction. It is for what? Confirmation. It confirms what God is already speaking to you about. Why? How are we led in the New Testament? As many as are led by what? The Spirit of God. They are what? The sons of God. And my sheep hears my what? My voice. So the word of knowledge will confirm what God is already speaking to your heart. That's why most times when I prophesy and I speak over people, I just tell them, you know, if this confirms anything in your heart, just let it be. If it doesn't, just let it go. You don't need to force people to accept it. Are you following what I'm saying? If it's God's word, it will come to pass. You know, sometimes I remember a couple of months ago, someone met me. I was in a meeting like last year and spoke God's word over her, prophesied over her and all that. And she came, she met me. She was like, oh, this. It was in another meeting, not even in church. And she was like, I told her, I can't even remember what I prophesied. Like, I didn't keep it in my head. It was just something God told me and I just spoke to you about. And that's it. It's between you and God. I'm not even sure. She's trying to make me recollect. I can't recollect because I'm not giving you, so I'll start tracking when it comes to pass. You know, that's why sometimes if you're not careful as a minister, you now feel a sense of entitlement to people's prosperity. You know, maybe you prophesied over someone, spoke over someone and the Lord bless them and they start increasing. You now feel that a portion of their increase should come back to oil where the prophetic word came from. You are not a businessman. Are you following what I'm saying? So sometimes you don't need to, oh, and I was the one that prayed for him. And I was the one that prayed for him. And God opened the door. You see, say, go. Don't have a sense of entitlement to people's increase in your ministry. Should they respond? You see, ultimately all these things is between, because sometimes I tell people this. You see, God is a very fair and a just God. You realize that there are people you also did not have any impute in their life whatsoever. They are of a blessing to you. You didn't have any impute. They just came already made. And they are just blessing you as if you are the first pastor they ever knew. And then you also have some people you will make all your impute in their life. The more impute you put, the more they will forget. The more you put, the more you forget. The more you put, the more you forget. Now, is it the way to just adjust your heart is that this is a work of grace. Are you following what I'm saying? You don't make people feel entitled. Should they honor you if they want to? But ultimately, God will sort you out. Praise God. All right. So I think that's a word of knowledge for someone listening to the message. Not in church here, though. Examples of the word of knowledge. So let's quickly look at the examples and then we can close. Old Testament. Examples of word of knowledge. Do you understand what I've said there? Gives preparation for ministry. Okay. So examples of the word of knowledge. Let's do 5 examples in the Old Testament, 5 in the New Testament, okay? So let's go quickly. Genesis 15, 13 to 14. Can we put it up quickly, guys, if we can? Genesis chapter 15, 13 to 14. Genesis. Then he said to Abraham, "Know certainly." Everybody say, "Know certainly." Okay, that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them for how many years? Do you know that God was speaking to Abraham about things that are going to happen to his great, 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 great grandchildren, the children of Israel? That's a word of knowledge. So you know something? God can speak to you about your children. And all these race that you are running, they are planning for their future. You, you don't even know the future you are planning for. God can speak to you about your children. Praise God. And that's why sometimes also you have to be open for the names that God will have you call your children. You know, sometimes these days when we want to call our children, we just go to the internet and choose name. Say ASCII. Say no. I don't like the way that K sounded. Then you just say, "I like this name." Some of you is the name you saw on a cloth many years ago. You just wrote it down. Kim Katz. I like that Kim Katz name. You wrote it down. When I have a girl, no. Sometimes you have to stay by the Spirit of God. Praise God. At least, if you give all the names, let one of those names be the names that the Lord has ministered to you. I remember my son's name is Karis. Karis, we chose ourselves. But his middle name is Ray. Now, the full meaning of that name is Ray of Hope. That's actually his name. We're just starting the ministry, first son. Things were tough. I was about to travel. It's the first time I was traveling for an NGO event. And I was on the plane and the Lord spoke to me. He said, "When this child comes, he's going to be a ray of hope for you. It's the fact that your future is going to be bright." That's why I called him Ray. You know, and I wasn't around when he gave birth. So I already had most of our two kids, we already had the names. You know, we didn't have to wait for naming. The names were ready for them. When they showed up, bam. They started answering the name right from the hospital. You know? And same for Zara. Same for all my siblings. Sometimes you have to be patient to pray. You've done the scanning. Go before the Lord. It reveals a lot. You understand? Just as our parents used to call us by their circumstance, things will be better. this child must bring money. You know, some of you, frustration, you are the last child, last of seven, poverty, all the six. They just called you money. At least if we don't have it, let's call it by name. You know, now they called by the what? By the circumstance. It's not just us. That's what happened in the Bible days, right? Benjamin, remember Benjamin, son of my right hand? His mother called him Benoni. And then the father said, "No, his name is not Benoni. He shall be called Benjamin, son of my right hand." Because the mother gave birth to him in pain. It's the same thing with Jesus. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from sin. So the name Jesus was tied to his purpose. Are you following what I'm saying? He says, "Your name is Jacob, but you shall be called Israel, a prince with God." So they were not just choosing Joshua. I don't like Joshua. John, no. But I want Jay to be there. Say, okay, Judas. No, Judas. No, don't go there. Okay, let's go. So Genesis 37:5-9. Don't go and change your name now, because I know that's what there was a time it happened in the Christendom. Everybody was now changing name. Excellence, wisdom, purpose. No, don't worry. If they gave you Bush, just skip it. You'll be the president of America. Skip it. Praise God. All right. Genesis 37:5-9. Joseph had two dreams revealing his future as ruler over his brothers. That was a word of knowledge. Praise God. Some of you always see yourself teaching in the dream. You're always teaching. Now this is a word of knowledge. You're always teaching, but you want to go and study engineering. No, you are called to be a teacher. Receive it, love it. Now that's a word of knowledge. That's a specific word of knowledge. You're always dreaming about teaching, but you want to go and study engineering. No, you're working out of purpose. Stay with what God has called you to do. Praise God. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 20, Samuel reveals that the donkeys were found. That's a word of knowledge. Are you following this? Samuel reveals that Saul's lost donkeys were found. In 1 Samuel 10:22, This is interesting. Can you put that up for me? 1 Samuel 10, 22. They wanted to make Saul king, and then the man was hiding. 1 Samuel 10, 22. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, has the man come here yet? And the Lord answered, there he is, hidden among the equipment. The guy went to hide. So they had to use the word of knowledge to pick him out. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 14 to 18. Elijah receives the word of knowledge when the Lord speaks to him and says, there are 7,000 other people who have not bowed their knees to bow. That's an exact word of knowledge. 7,000. The Lord gave him an exact figure of the people who have not bowed their knees to bow. That's an exact word of knowledge in the Old Testament. Okay. Examples of word of knowledge in the New Testament. So you see, even though the Holy Spirit was not fully functional in the Old Testament in terms of living in them, the fact that the Holy Spirit was upon them gave them word of knowledge. How much more now? Praise God. I say, how much more now that the Holy Ghost is in us? It means that that's the realm we live in. Praise God. I'll just share this testimony quickly before going. When we started out in ministry, my wife was teaching, and I think that they were paying her 3-5 or 4-5 when she started teaching or something. And I wasn't on any specific salary. So we moved to another end of town. And I was on a bike, I was going home. And I just passed a school. And they were looking for teachers. We're not actively looking for a job. I mean, it was okay. But when I was passing, I just sensed in my spirit, tell her to go apply in that school. So I came back and I told her, and then she applied. She got the job. It was one of the best jobs she had before she resigned. Now, sometimes the word of knowledge can come that way. And that's why you must learn to not to cloud your spirit with anger, bitterness, hatred, lust. Your spirit is so dense. You can't hear from God. And you are angry why things are not working well for you. You are too heavy. Stay light. Sometimes you can be in the internet and Lord say, apply for this, send this mail, make this call. Learn to be open. The word of knowledge can give you exact. If we learn, listen, I'll tell you the truth. If we learn to function in these gifts in its fullness, we will rarely make mistakes in life. Yeah. You will rarely make mistakes. If we learn, even as a pastor, I'm learning specifically how to function in these gifts. Fully. To its fullness. You know, but our problem is, instead of us learning more about these gifts, we are learning about other things rather than the spiritual tools that God is giving to us. So this can help you get a job, can help you get a wife. I know most people, most guys, the gift is always activated when they are looking for people to marry. That's the highest. Just functions once. Now let me give you a word of caution. If you have not been functioning in the word of knowledge, God has not been speaking to you, you have not been hearing God properly, and now you have finally said God has spoken to you about a wife, the chances is that you are 99.1% wrong. Because if you're not used to God speaking to you, it is not when you now want to marry that he will speak to you very clearly. The chances are you are already perceiving the, you know, anybody you like will appear to you in the dream. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you are not hearing God. He gets to this junction of your life and then he speaks to you clearly. No, you have to keep hearing God on other things. If you didn't hear him when he said you should give, you didn't hear him when he said you should come to church, you didn't hear him when he said you should join a department, you didn't hear him when he said you should go soul winning, you didn't hear him when he said you should forgive, now you are hearing him when he said you should marry, we need to question that. Why? Because sometimes we set up idols in our hearts and we begin to hear voices regarding that, and then you now find out that we think that it is the Lord speaking to us. Is it possible for the Lord to speak? Yes. But what I'm trying to say is this. You cannot just restrict the operation of the gift to just one time in your life. You have to functionally walk in them, and it trains you to understand how the gift goes. Praise God. Matthew 1:20. This is very interesting. Matthew 1:20, quickly. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. The Lord by the Holy Ghost, you know, Mary, Joseph wanted to put Mary aside. But why he thought about these things? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Wow. You know, we talk a lot about Mary, and Joseph should be commended. Joseph should be commended. I'm telling you, because this is, your wife gets pregnant. And you know, I used to say this when I talk to couples. The reason Joseph could have this thought is that he has not slept with Mary. Because if it were some of us, you would not be asking which of them, which one did you get pregnant? Because it's multiple, which is wrong. So if Joseph was not, if Joseph didn't trust himself, he would not be thinking. Are you following what I'm saying? Rather, the Holy Spirit will be restraining you. But then the Holy Spirit appeared. And the Lord said, and the guy went ahead, exact word of knowledge, the pregnancy is of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Are you still here? All right. Matthew 2:13. God warns Joseph of Herod's plan to seek the death of the child Jesus. God warns Herod of Joseph's plan. Matthew chapter 2 verse 13. Are you there? Now when they had departed, behind, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Let me explain something to you. Listen very carefully. Everybody listen carefully. Don't miss this. When you read up until when Jesus went to the cross, you see a lot of the angel of the Lord appear. The angel of the Lord appear. Now, the ministry of angels was very active in the Old Testament because that was how God was communicating. But in the New Testament now, you don't need to wait for an angel to speak to you. God speaks to you what? Directly. Is that okay? All right. Because you see a lot of angel appearing. So wonder. Matthew 9:2-6, Jesus knows the thoughts of the scribes. So you see that through the word of knowledge here about the specific plan to kill Jesus, God also now gave a word of wisdom. What was the word of wisdom to Joseph? What was the word of wisdom? Flee to Egypt, run. So sometimes the word of wisdom God will give to you is to run. He just said, take the guy and run. So by the time Herod was killing people, what happened? Jesus had already escaped. So you see, this thing can save you. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, the truth of the matter is that we live in so much fear in our days, in our age. You know why we live in so much fear? It's because we don't have this gift functioning. So we suspect everybody. We don't have. If you have this gift functioning, you'll be exact. Exact in the things you do. Praise God. Okay. Acts 9:10-12, we read that God reveals Saul's conversion and location to Ananias. Acts chapter 10 verse 19. Put that up for me. Acts 10:19. God informs Peter of three men seeking him. Say, why Peter thought about the vision. You observe that every time, and I'm praying that I should have the liberty in the spirit to teach you on dreams and visions. If you observe something, every time they had a vision or a dream, it is while they were thinking on it, the Lord now does what? Gives them the interpretation to the dream. Sometimes when you have a dream, don't just be quick to get the interpretation. Allow the Lord to speak to you. And if you have a dream you don't understand interpretation, go back to the Lord and pray about it. It is, remember about Joseph we read, but here is Peter. Why Peter thought about, the Spirit said, behold, three men are seeking for you. Exact word of knowledge. Three people, not two, not one and a half. Three men seeking for you. Acts 27 verse 10. Paul foretells of the danger in the voyage. We'll do one more and then we'll close. Acts 27 and verse 10. He said, man, I perceive. You see, he didn't say, the Lord said to me, thus saith the Lord. He perceived. I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss. Not only of the cargo and sea, but also of our lives. But you know, they didn't listen to him because the weather was good. So sometimes the word of knowledge will forewarn you, even where everything seems all right. Praise God. The word of knowledge just forewarn you. It's time to leave. The company is good. Everything. God just says, resign now. It's like, no. They promise you pay bonus, or what do you call it? Pay increase and everything, bam. And then you stick there. 2 months later, they steal things under your watch. They sack you, the little one they had paid you in the last 1 year. They now collected everything back. You know, so the believer does not move whether things are bad or not. The believer moves when the Lord speaks. The voyage was still, weather was still clear. And the Lord says, and they didn't listen to him. They sailed, bam, they hit, and they lost everything. It will help you in your business. Praise God. You won't just go to market because people are demanding goods, and then you now have your goods stock for 2 years. It will eradicate confusion in your life. You know, but the problem is we are not patient. We are so much in a hurry. There's no time for God to speak to us. Immediately we go into prayer. We know what we want to pray. Oh God, bless us today. Oh God, make sure that our customers come today. In the name of Jesus Christ, let nothing happen to my children as they are going to school. Let no kidnapper, all these kidnappers in Nigeria Delta. I pray, Father God, that they will not see my children. In the name of Jesus, keep my husband. Let all these guests not see him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You're gone. And I mean, let's imagine the angel. This is me talking. Now, this is not Bible. Imagine the angel of the Lord wants to come to speak to you. He's flying. He gets to, bam, you are not there. He goes back. Because we're always in a hurry. Always in a hurry. We just have our prayer lined up. Protection, preservation, prosperity. Yeah, kill enemies. It's straightforward. 5 minutes, we're done. Bam. And there's no direction. And you know the funny thing? When things now happen, people start blaming God. Oh God, where were you? Then they now start harassing God. But I paid my tithe. It was 10%. I even added 2 more to make it 12. You see, the point is, yes, we collected the tithe, but God could not speak to you. Are you following what I'm saying? You still have to be still and to fellowship with God for God to cause this gift to work in your life. Praise God. Last scripture, John 1, 47 to 49. Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree. So I've been able to show you examples of word of knowledge in the Old and in the New Testament. John 1, 47. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you tonight, and we just pray, Father God, that we just activate these gifts in the name of Jesus. We just activate these gifts in the name of Jesus, and we pray by the Spirit of the Lord that there will be a free flow of these gifts in our midst in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For direction, for increase, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let worry and anxiety just leave in the name of Jesus. We take authority over the fear of death and the fear of accidents. We just break that hold over your life right now, that the fear to travel is broken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you find freedom in Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to Present Truth Broadcast with Pastor Maxwell Ogaga. For more information and free downloads, please visit www.pastormax.ng. We would also like to hear from you. Send us an email, info@pastormax.ng, or call 0805-888-7575. God bless you.